Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to yet another teleconsultation session organized by Asian Banker Research. This time, we would like to address the issue on how we can leverage actually the sentiment analysis to better execute campaigns and respond to customer reactions, but also manage the brand. And as you may be aware, the traditional method of analyzing customer feedback through surveys and focus groups can be very expensive and time-consuming, and often doesn't allow to adjust, campaigns or working with a brand on the move. Sentiment analysis and opinion mining is believed actually to fill that gap, though I think it comes, with its own challenges. I think some of the questions we would like to address today are: what are key building blocks of sentiment analysis, and how we need to address the opportunities in that field? How we do analyze actually feedback from customers and what they're saying about us and the brand. But also, what are how we need to understand when sentiment analysis fails actually, and what are the limitations? And perhaps also to address then, in one of the presentations and later techniques that can be used actually to successfully automate the extraction and tracking of opinions. We have with us today three speakers and panelists, and I would like to quickly introduce them. The first one, which will also start off the session, is Meta Brown. Meta Brown is an independent consultant in the U.S., and she is specializing in non-English sentiment analysis, is an expert in the integration of sentiment with predictive analysis, and has a professional focus on the return we can achieve on in that field and in sentiment analysis investment. Then we will move on to Manya Mayes. Manya Mayes is Director of Advanced Analytics at Attensity. She comes with a rich background of more than 20 years in data mining, text analytics and social media, and sentiment analysis across a couple of industries, including insurances and banking, in fact. We also have on board Mr. Vince Leet, which is from the IBM Banking Framework Leadership, based in Asia, and he has been engaged actually with many financial institutions to transform their marketing business intelligence and CRM functions. Prior to that, he was a executive of one of Australia's leading banks for more than 25 years. Before I start, I would like to provide a few house rules. The link to the teleconsultation has been sent to all of you, so you can actually log in from your computer to follow the presentation on your screen while the presenter is going through them. If you would like to ask a question after and the Q&A session, you have actually two options. The first option is you could write a question into the chat box at the bottom right corner of the WebEx screen, or you actually activate the hand icon, which you may see also on the right column side. The hand icon will allow us to switch you through, and you will be able to raise your question. We would encourage everybody to post the questions verbally, but as I said, there's always the option to drop it in the note box. Without further ado, actually, let's start the session, and I would like to hand over the baton to Meta Brown, which will address the first presentation. Yeah. Meta, thanks.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to begin the discussion by considering the matter of finding value in sentiment analysis. So the goal is that when you invest in sentiment analysis, you want it to do something for your employer. And the most important part of that is that it should, in fact, bring a financial benefit. To begin, let's talk about what we mean when we talk about sentiment analysis here. sentiment analysis, and I'm sure most of you are familiar, but let's get all on this, an image same, is that we're going to assess an opinion in a very brief way, so that that may be simply a category, a positive and neutral or negative opinion. It might be a score, perhaps on a 0 to 100 scale, and that we're doing this in an automated fashion depending upon methods such as natural language processing, computational linguistics, statistical methods, and so forth. Right, so why is there so very much interest in investing in sentiment analysis today? And there is a tremendous amount of interest. I believe that the most important reason is growing awareness of a very large and valuable resource in the form of data, and that the highest level of awareness is on social media. I will go on to explain that I believe other sources may be more valuable to you for banking applications, but I would definitely say that social media is what's driving awareness more than any other factor. Competitive business environment, not only in banking but in the world economy in general, is driving all marketers to look for ways that they can dig deeper, be more competitive, and find advantage, unique advantage, over others, as well as in audiences that have a high level of awareness of analytics, the knowledge that the technology for sentiment analysis and for text analysis in general is rapidly improving. Particularly in the context of text analysis, many, many people ask, what good is subject? What does it matter to me if I know what people are talking about, unless I know how they feel about it? And so when people talk text analytics, today you will find that most of the time they're talking sentiment analysis. Now, particularly in the context of banking, there are a number of sources for text data that could be used for sentiment analysis. A very large body of this information is coming from your everyday business already, so that people may be sending in requests for help in the form of text, making sales inquiries, and even complaining. And I believe that you will find that it is this type of information which is, in fact, most valuable to you for marketing. Most valuable. By contrast, it's at the other end of this list, the area that's getting the most attention is social media. So why am I telling you that your most valuable resource is one that is getting far less attention in the business community, in the analytics community? Because it's very important for you to justify investment, for you to know that what you do works well, to have a way to tie it to business, to be able to actually measure some return. And the advantage of your everyday business data is that you know who it's coming from. Current customers, you have a tremendous amount of information about. Prospective customers, at least you can track them. You have an email address, and you may have much more information about it than that. And you have the opportunity to try different things, test, see what works, and see what value is coming from your actions. In general, are the returns on sentiment analysis good? They are not. A recent market study by Altiplano Corporation called Text and Content Analytics 2011, User Perspectives of Solutions and Providers, in fact found that the majority, by about a 2-to-1 margin, of adopters of text analytics in general were not getting positive returns. 2/3 were not getting positive returns at all. in sentiment analysis, I believe you would see even more extreme results, because sentiment analysis is less often tied to a clearly measurable pathway to return than other types of text analytics. However, that doesn't mean we shouldn't do text analysis because we can't make returns. The reason that so many organizations fail to get positive returns from sentiment analysis, from text analytics, and in fact from any type of analytics is they don't start off with a plan on how they will make positive returns. A lot of organizations go in saying, let's try this and see if it does us any good, without thinking through how could we imagine it doing good, what will we have to have in place for that, and making a plan that actually can achieve positive returns. So it's not that sentiment analysis cannot be used in a profitable way. It is that most adopters, in fact, do not think that through. When I say that you need a good plan, what I mean is, first, you must, in fact, have defined goals. You must be very specific about them and have a way that you can measure and determine whether you're meeting them or not, and to what degree. When you have established goals, you have to be able to outline what actions will it take, what sequence of events are required in order to meet my goal. And you must make certain that it is someone's responsibility to carry that through. Whether it is a marketing manager, and it can't be an analyst alone, because analysts don't have the power to put marketing programs in place or any type of program that can achieve returns. They can really only provide information. And that the accountable person, in fact, has the level of power and resources required to carry out your action plan. So I want you to know that sentiment analysis is applicable to banking, it's applicable to marketing and banking, and that it's entirely possible to produce good, solid returns. But this can only happen if you begin by making a thoughtful plan that enables you to do that.
Okay, Meta, are you coming to your end of the year?
I am passing the ball back to you, Chris.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Meta, for the introduction to sentiment analysis. I would like to ask you actually one more question before we go to Mania. In you working actually with the industry, and regardless whether it's banking or insurance or other industries, what do you see currently where banks are, picking up the sentiment analysis idea? Is that still something which is where the banks are still on a text analysis kind of level? And looking at how we can actually operationalize that, how we get the returns out of it, or do banks actually already do this from your work you have seen?
I would say that what I've seen most often in banking is some very broad work with sentiment analysis, that it is focused, in fact, on media, meaning professional news reporting, and to some extent on social media. And those are not the easiest places to be able to demonstrate clear returns. I am beginning to see banks do more operationalizing. In other words, they're applying a variety of types of text analytics techniques to their everyday business. And I have heard some results from some of those. They're not necessarily all achieving tremendous levels of accuracy in what they're doing, and yet some are still feeling that there's value in what they're doing. They're seeing how they're getting savings out of it, and they are going forward.
It appears that the industry is still in a very embryonic, actually, stage where probably the internal departments are still geared towards text analytics, if at all, or the conventional data mining rather than opinion mining. Where is the difference? This is the last question before I move on. Where is the difference between text analytics and sentiment analysis? I mean, how has that moved from the conventional text and data mining to a sentiment analysis? How does it happen?
You know what? It's something that that users think about very, very quickly. I have been in text analytics since the 1990s, and I can recall that the very first product that I worked with, anyone who looked at the diagrams that showed what subjects people were talking about that related those to one another immediately said, well, what do I care if they're talking about this or that unless I know whether they liked each thing or disliked it. So the transition from broad text analytics to the specific topic of sentiment analysis is a very quick one in the minds of business users. However, it's not necessarily the quickest ones in terms of being able to do the work effectively. It is quite challenging because even human beings have a difficult time and are not consistent in assessing sentiment from text. And it is a challenging one because we have to think, how will we go from knowing how people feel to bringing in more business?
So there's a lot of sentiment in the sentiment analysis, even in how what to use. And then of course the question is also about what are the real returns, right? I would like to, and this is actually where also Manya is coming in, Manya Meyers, in terms of probably the more, a little bit more technical things, how are we going to go after that, that sentiment approach, and what are some of the issues we need to be aware of when we really really would like to develop our own sentiment analysis capacities and capabilities in our bank. Manya, would you like to address that?
Sure. Yeah, so hello everybody and good morning. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you all today. I wanted to focus a little more on the sentiment around sentiment. So what I'm meaning here is, when you're looking at the different approaches to sentiment, which work and which don't. And what I'd like to do is just highlight the different approaches to sentiment and talk about some of the pros and cons to using some of these approaches and what that means in terms of the data that you're looking at and the results that you might expect. And Meta talked a little more already about customer feedback types. What I wanted to highlight here was your traditional feedback data that's coming through the call center or coming back from surveys or email or via the internet, meaning in this case, a financial institution's internet where customers perhaps get the opportunity to write in with their comments or complaints and so on. This traditional type of feedback typically is it's somewhat well written, and the software that's used to analyze this can do a reasonable job of trying to understand what sort of issues the customers have. But when we move to social media, things like the blogs and the chat rooms and the microblogs and so on, quite often, if you consider Twitter, for example, you have users who are writing their comments in a very short space. So they become abbreviated, People use shorthand and acronyms and synonyms, and there's misspellings and so on. It becomes a lot harder for the software just to even understand what it is that people are writing. But that said, you know, I've seen a lot of US banks who are very interested in using, you know, as well as some of these traditional sources, also the newer social media to try and understand, you know, what it is that customers are saying, you know, what are some of the biggest problems that people are talking about. So I would say kind of where most financial institutions are at the moment is using both traditional and social media. Yet the financial institutions also capture, you know, via IVR systems, you know, typically when a customer phones into a bank, they are typically greeted with a message that says this call may be recorded. And so at least here in the US, and I'm thinking probably worldwide, every call that comes into a bank, into a call center, is recorded, and then that information can also provide additional text for analysis. So typically it's recorded as a voice signal, but then the software that captures this data and the speech analytics that you can apply on the top of it can also do a complete voice-to-text transcription. So, you know, here again is yet another source that you could use for the sentiment analysis. And then you have some of the, you know, the social media type sites like YouTube, where, you know, people might get on there and talk about what their issues are, you know, via a video. And I have an example here. If you haven't seen it already, it's become very popular. The example is from a Canadian musician. His name is Dave Carroll, who got on United Airlines with his guitar. And when he met his guitar at his destination, it was broken, and nobody wanted anything to do about it. So he decided to write a song and put it on YouTube. And as you can see, I think it's just a couple of days ago, it had over 11 million views, which you know, it went viral very quickly. And so, you know, here's another way that customers have an opportunity to say what they like or don't like about a product or a brand or a service and so on. And you know, while I don't think that a lot of companies, at least in my experience from what I've seen, are actively analyzing voice that's coming from these social media sites, I think it's something that people are looking at, and definitely using their internal systems, their IVR systems, to understand what people are saying, you know, over the phone and so on. So the different types of you know, customer feedback methods can produce different types of results. And when you're looking at actually taking this data and understanding what people are saying, you know, some of the earlier approaches were you're using things like WordNet just to assign a positive or a negative value to a word, and then calculating across a sentence or across a particular customer feedback, you know, a particular touch point, understanding, you know, overall, was the customer fairly, you know, positive or were they negative? And, you know, there are limitations to using that type of approach. Although WordNet has evolved pretty well itself over the years, but really, if you're having feedback from customers who are saying, you know, I like something, or I dislike something, or overall the customer is happy, really the next question for anybody that's looking at this type of data, whether it's an analyst or somebody from marketing, is what is it that the customer's happy about? Because without the information about what, it's really hard to take any action on what to do with that information. And the typical text analytics approaches to doing sentiment analysis use in the background either a deep parsing method or a shallow parsing method, and I'll try and keep this high level. But the idea here is that with the shallow parsing, you're looking at understanding what are the words or phrases that people are using and in what context. So it's you've got the natural language processing systems in the background identifying the words that people are using. Whether these are coming from your surveys or your customer feedback or from your call centers and so on. The shallow parsing will identify the different words and the different parts of speech, so you can identify whether somebody's talking about a bank as in an entity or a financial institution versus something like a river bank where maybe they did some water skiing at the weekend. But the shallow parsing does not relate the words to each other. So if somebody mentions a bank as in they were talking about a river bank and fishing at the weekend, and then they talked about going to their ATM machine at their bank on the way home, because the shallow parsing identifies the words but not the context, that you then have to employ additional techniques to understand, which one was which bank was related to the ATM and which was related to the riverbank. Deep parsing, on the other hand, gets right down into the depths of sentence diagramming. So it identifies the different parts of speech, but then understands the relationships. And that part, I think, is just acutely important for when it comes to understanding sentiment. Because if somebody says, high interest rates, customers are happy about high interest rates with respect to their savings accounts, but they might be unhappy about the high fees in general for account usage. And knowing that high interest rates is good and high fees is bad is where the deep parsing really provides, I think, that extra knowledge understanding. And so when it comes to analyzing the data, you can get an overall positive or negative or shades in between of maybe highly positive or somewhat positive and so on, like you would if you were maybe analyzing survey data. But the software does this for you automatically. And knowing typically how customers speak, they quite often might have a number of comments to make. So they might have multiple positive and multiple negative, a combination of those things to be said all in one statement. And the software that's out there, some of it understands at an overall, at a document level, was this somewhat positive, whereas other software goes deeper into understanding at sentence level and even at phrase level, if it was, if a customer comment was positive or negative. But really understanding that a customer is happy about that one thing and unhappy about something else, you need to know what the difference is, because if the software is presented with a statement like great service but high fees, the machine learning software out there that uses the shallow parsing doesn't know whether it's great fees and high service or high fees and great service, and of course that's important for when it comes to understanding what the customer has said. So there's different approaches that you can use, and of course the different vendors out there provide different approaches. And I think for sentiment analysis, it's important to understand what the software has under the hood. But the software is definitely very useful for automating the understanding of what customers are saying, to the point that if you have people that you employ to read through survey responses, for example, the software is automated and it's consistent. Whereas if you have two different reviewers assigning your levels of positive or negative to what they're reading, you could present the same customer feedback to two different people and end up with two different results, which is not what you would get with the software. And typical use cases for when it comes to understanding sentiment, I've kind of split them into two different groups. So one, more focused on segmentation. So the presentation today, looking at using sentiment analysis to successfully analyze marketing campaigns, then the data that's presented to the software, you can look at using the software to segment what types of comments your customers are making. And then using their feedback using the text or the sentiment, you can better define or describe existing customer sentiment, existing customer segments, sorry. And then the segmentation can also be useful to warn of any sort of trends or issues. One example that I have seen in previous work was looking at social media data and understanding that one of the US banks had their website go down while customers were trying to do transactions, and so immediately those customers were going to Twitter making comments about the fact that the website was not available. And so Twitter is one social media content provider where you can get access to the whole Twitter fire hose and actively be analyzing that data and in near real time be served alerts using sentiment analysis to know that customers are having issues. And so in this case, it was pretty easy to see that the website had gone down. And then sentiment analysis and text analytics in general can also be used to help improve predictive models. So if you have models internally that you're using to do things like predict risk or predict churn or predict fraud, then using customer feedback, if a customer gets on the phone and says, I've missed making a payment on my credit card, I forgot, or I didn't get around to it this week, then maybe that customer is less risky than somebody says, I haven't been able to do it this week, I lost my job and I'm not quite sure where the money for the next payment is coming from. So that type of information can definitely help improve the lift or classification or ROI on predictive models. And then also just understanding what the customer is saying when it comes to building a predictive model, then the way that the information is served can help describe the predictive models. This customer is at higher risk because they commented that they've lost their job. And so that sort of information can be highly useful in helping better understand the customers and then using that sentiment to successfully get a better understanding. And that's the sum of my slides, and so I appreciate the opportunity to present and would be happy to pass it back.
Yeah. Manya, thank you so much for this wonderful presentation. And also the insights on, where are the issues coming from, especially that seems to be that the contextual information are really important to identify, whether it's neutral, positive, or negative. And, also what, that there are a couple of areas where, it makes really use applying sentiment analysis, in fact. I would like to hear, actually, Vince's opinion on that, just for completeness sake, based on the two presentations we had from Mehta and Manya. Vince, would you like to add a few things?
Morning, Chris.
Morning. Morning. Did you, Vince? Did you hear my? Did you hear my our question? Vince, good morning. Okay, until Vince, can you hear us?
Until
Vince, yeah, hello.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Good morning. 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 I'm dialing in from Hanoi, so I hope the line's clear.
All right. Did you go ahead? Some of your views and thoughts on Mehta's and Manya's actually ideas and presentations.
Both speakers, I enjoyed the content. From IBM's point perspective in this marketplace in banking, we're really only seeing some early interest from banks in deploying software and tools to sort of undertake sentiment analysis. The banks in Singapore have shown quite a bit of interest. Other markets are still early days. I mean, for them, it's they're still struggling with some of the more basic forms of managing their campaigns and communicating with customers and tracking things. But I see, over the next 12 months that there'll be a lot more interest as people like IBM can actually prove the value of sentiment analysis to banks. And I think that's one of the key things. It's for a lot of bankers in some of the markets that I work in, it's sort of nice to know, but where's the value in undertaking sentiment analysis? And then how do I actually leverage that information in the market and use that information? I think they're the big challenges for banks.
Yeah, I think that's a perennial issue about, what's the return, how we can actually track certain things. While I actually want to open already now to the Q&A session, please press the hand button or type in your question at the chat box. I would like to bring this back to Meta and Manya on, where is the real value. I think Manya was mentioning a few things already, but it's interesting that the value on the text analytics side when it comes to, let's say, call recording, is probably more used for coaching rather than analyzing things, hasn't really realized in the first place, to go to that second step on sentiment analysis. Meta, would you like to comment on that?
Sure. Well, there are really two pieces to this. There's where's value and where's value that we can clearly measure. So to take, for example, something that Manya mentioned in her talk, she mentioned using sentiment analysis in order to get first alerts and understand where there may be a problem, for example, or it would also be nice if we got first alerts or something wonderful happening, but it's usually a problem. And there's really no doubt that it's valuable to know quickly if there's a problem and correct it. It is, however, not always so easy to attach specific value to that. So I'm not here to discourage anyone from doing first alert tracking. In fact, I think it's a great idea. What may be tough for you, though, is when your management wants to assess what is the value of that to the company, since you don't have a controlled experiment in which you had the first alert and another parallel universe in which you did not have the first alert. You don't have always a clear way of assessing, well, what value did you get from having that information and being able to take a corrective action? By contrast, if you look for ways of integrating sentiment analysis into something that is direct marketing or closely akin to that, now you have many individual interactions in which you may be able to very clearly measure the value. So, for example, if we have customer complaints coming into the company or let's say just customer inquiries, if you can assess the sentiment in those, you may find you can test different techniques of dealing with angry customers, and some of them may be more effective than others at retaining those customers. So in that example, now you can figure out, well, what's the rate at which we keep these customers using, say, the technique we're using now? Maybe we'll try an alternative way of dealing with these particular problems. What's the difference in retention rate that we get? What's the value of that retained customer? Now we have a very clear way of measuring the value. We can also do that with customer inquiries, perhaps with simply prospective customers. What we may try, say, different copy. or different kinds of information being passed to those customers, measure the comparative effectiveness of those, and then knowing how many more sales we closed, how many more loans we were able to give out, how many more credit cards we were able to issue, or whatever transaction you can tie a value to, now you have very clearly measurable results from your sentiment analysis. So there are many applications that are valuable. The challenge is often being able to clearly measure the value.
Meta, thank you so much. There's a question coming in, and I would like to post this to you, Maya and Meta. Are there any privacy issues, the caller asked, are there any privacy issues on how would these be addressed since we are effectively looking at personal social media comments? So it's the issue about privacy.
Hey, so this is Nina.
Would you like to take this? Yeah.
Yeah. Privacy issues are always a big concern, and I think different countries, of course, have different rulings about how to use data. But when it comes to social media, I mean, social media is publicly available. So something like, if you're looking at something like Twitter, or you have an equivalent in Asia, the data is there and it's public. If you're looking at a social media site like Facebook, there are many banks out there who have their own Facebook pages and who customers post comments to those pages. So those pages, if your own financial institution has its own Facebook page, then the data that the information that customers post to those pages does actually, I think, belong to you. So that data in itself, I think there's less issues about privacy. But I think it's, I'm sure Facebook, the data that they're collecting, you could possibly look for a particular financial institution's name, across any and all Facebook postings. I think that's a little bit different, because then I may make a comment privately to my own friends about the bank that I'm using, which I would not intend for that data to be seen by the bank itself. So I think it depends on where the data is coming from and the rulings around what the data is. But if you have your own Facebook page, then I think that gives you a lot more of a viable option to have data, collect data from customers, because they intend for you actually to see that.
Mm. Yeah, I think it really is an issue by country. I mean, in the West probably, in Europe, in the US, it's much more sensitively handled than probably in some areas here, in regions here in Asia. But in general, the data are available. However, that is could be a sensitive issue when I think customers start getting hold on that, banks or institutions start overtly spying on the information which are available. So what I would like to actually address very concretely is, in fact, because Maya, you mentioned that the issue about how to interpret text things or response from customers, and probably we can pull out one element is which is the marketing campaign. Many institutions here, have a struggling in the first place about, how effectively we can actually measure and manage marketing campaigns, leaving aside using text analytics or even sentiment analysis. You mentioned that the context is really important. Depending on the context, you will get the very different readings. In a marketing campaign itself, what would you advise financial institutions when they want to add sentiment analysis capabilities, how they should go after that, and what they probably need to consider to avoid some of the pitfalls you have seen in the industry?
Sure. So I think relative to a specific marketing campaign, there is going to be a definite specific terminology that's used in the campaign itself that may be new or a little different to perhaps how the bank has been marketing or positioning itself historically. So underneath the hood, the text analytics, the sentiment analysis software most typically have the ability to do some sort of knowledge engineering. So being able to know what that specific terminology is. And so by making the software more knowledgeable about your own language or language specific to the marketing campaign means that it's easier for the software to pick out those particular types of phrases and statements and so on and understand how pervasive those statements are. Are the customers repeating them? Has it kind of caught on and is it interesting to the customers? And definitely there's software out there that does that. Some software does it better than others. But knowing kind of some of that specific terminology is very useful, I think, for when it comes to looking at analyzing the results, so then you can know how well that message is being picked up and being reused.
Okay. How effective are these tools actually? And this is a question I just take in for that because it fits into this. How effective are the tools available in the market to analyze actually sentiment? I mean, we have seen that you get very different outcomes depending on what kind of data sources you're using. So how effective are these tools available currently?
I would really like to speak to this one. I think it's a very, very important question. The first thing we want to realize is what's our baseline for sentiment analysis? It's what humans do. And as Manya mentioned earlier, human beings are not consistent in how they interpret sentiment. So that if we were to take two or three human beings and give them the same text to interpret, they would only come up with matching results at best 70 to 75% of the time. Sentiment analysis by machine, there's a lot of colorful discussion about how accurate it is, but realize that when we measure that, we're comparing it to human beings, and the human beings aren't very consistent. So we could argue that 70 to 75% is in fact the theoretical maximum that the software can reach, and in practice, depending on who you ask in the particular situation, we hear accuracy levels quoted of anything from 50% up into the 90%. And we could have a long discussion about what that means, but even if we were to talk about the highest estimates that anyone ever gives for sentiment analysis, they're still allowing for an awful lot of times when, by anybody's definition, the software gets it wrong. And what that means to me as an analyst and as a marketer is that I want to use sentiment analysis in situations where I can get something good in the way of results, even if the technology is not perfect. And that is not a new thing. Again, if we go back to direct marketing type examples, if we think about making a particular offer to a large number of prospective customers, only a few of them will accept. And so we test many different things. We test the copy that we use, the layout of an advertisement, the offer, the price, even in a direct mail situation, the color of the envelope in which the message is delivered. None of these things works perfectly. But any piece that works a little better than what we had before can be highly profitable. And it is the same with sentiment analysis. no matter what situation you're in, it does not work perfectly. Now, this is from a technical software side, this is an area that's important to me because I do work with a software company, Linguisys. And one of the things that we do there is to make sure that for a particular application, we adjust the databases of the language to suit the application. So I think I heard it mentioned earlier today, if you're in banking, people are using banking language, and you want to adjust what you're doing to use that as well as possible, and you can get better results, and yet no one would claim that they are perfect. So the effectiveness is an important issue, and it's important to say, how can we use this not perfect technology by anybody's assessment and still get value from it?
Yeah, I think the issue which comes up then here is actually if that, I mean, we don't aim for perfection, right? But there has to be some kind of accuracy to allow actually a meaningful response and a right response to the market or the customer. And if that is not given, then you would probably escalate your manual resources to a point where the whole thing in terms of the budget blows into your face.
That is a significant issue, and it requires thinking through, because different organizations approach that in different ways, and I'm seeing some very creative approaches that are giving better results. For example, one organization here in the United States, and it is a large financial organization, has been approaching this by saying what we are really interested in is people who are ready to close their accounts. And rather than use a straight standard sentiment analysis tool and methods, their approach was to look for language that was specifically indicative of account closing. Sometimes something as simple as, I'm going to close my account. And so they developed searches for the different kinds of terminology that they understood would specifically indicate intention to close accounts, so that there must be a much wider range of sentiment expressed in the text that they have. But they went after this very, very narrow issue that they cared about a lot. And they claim greater than 90% accuracy on what they're doing, and it has to do with the way they define it rather than the broad definition that most of us would use for sentiment accuracy. And they bring back this much narrower set of individuals to look at and have responses specifically geared to dealing with that issue, so that they don't leave themselves a lot of room to go wrong.
I think that's also the way going forward, one of the success, ways of success that we really, if you haven't done that yet, start with something very specific, which is, which links back to your strategy and to your value proposition in the market, and where you want to really seen, or where you believe that this is really a very, very important KPI. Let's say, attrition, right? Closing of accounts on the branch side, and then from there you can actually, build very specific, I think, models around which you can track sentiment. I believe this too. We have a few more issues which are a little bit more geared towards the tech IT side. What are some of the common tools, software, things that are currently used for sentiment analysis, and what are the strengths and what are the weaknesses? Maya, would you like to take this on very quickly? Is there something available, and what are the strengths and weaknesses at the moment of these tools and software?
Sure. So there's a whole host of different tools that are available, which probably doesn't help everybody right off the bat. But again, if you go back to some of the comments I made about whether the tools are using shallow parsing or deep parsing, you've got social media software companies like Radian6, for example. You've got text analytics vendors whereas some of the common, the mainstream ones like IBM and SAS, common data mining type solutions that have also added the text analytics and sentiment analysis there, as well as some of the niche vendors. So more like Attensity, I'm just trying to think. There's a number of others in that space as well. But so you could actually apply sentiment coming from a number of different approaches. So whether you're using, say, a social media analytics offering and using sentiment that way, or a text analytics offering that applies those types of techniques, or kind of one of the general vendors, so one of the bigger software vendors versus something like a niche vendor. So there's quite a few out there, and I think that there's a lot of information that you can use as well to kind of to catch up on these. You've got companies like Nexidia or Clarabridge or so on, but some of these use more of the shallow analysis, which makes it harder for them to be accurate with the results, versus others who use that deep analytics, who will definitely be more accurate.
Mm-hmm. And what would be some of the limitations yet we have seen? I mean, the shallow parsing, you mentioned this. What are some of the other issues executives need to be aware of if they're looking into these things?
I think that there's, different companies also have done, have put a lot more effort into the knowledge engineering that goes into their offerings. My experience of that over the years, having used SAS and Attensity, is that, there's been a lot more effort put into the knowledge engineering behind the scenes for the deep parsing than the shallow parsing. And the list, the terminologies, so the different vendors can provide lists of ontologies that are specific to certain horizontals and verticals. So, for example, Attensity has an offering that they have tailored specifically to financial services, and actually in this case retail banking. So that will give you a definite quick start into using terminology that's very specific for the type of work that you're doing. But any company that provides those, there's still additional work that needs to be done on top of that. But I think starting with a company that's done a good job of providing those industry-specific lexicons, if you like, will mean that there's less effort that you would have to put into the system yourself, as opposed to starting from scratch with a company that does not have a list at all.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have a last question, actually, because we're going to wrap it up. One of the topics on the agenda, which we probably haven't even really touched on, was how you engage individuals who have the highest influence and greatest ability to reach others online. How is this achieved? I mean, this is going into the, identifying and, selecting these kind of people as multipliers. Can that be linked with sentiment analysis?
Yeah, absolutely. And there are companies out there whose sole purpose is to go out there in the social media space and find out that somebody that's called, I don't know, the Kiwi Girl 123 is actually Manny Mays, and hey, actually it's the same one who lives in Utah, and then you can kind of make the connection to where she banks and what she does and so on. So there are companies out there that you can buy these lists from, so to understand who's out there promoting or not your products and services, and so then that gives you the opportunity to watch people talking about your company and possibly even relate that back to your own internal customer database, and so use that for your own segmentation and modeling purposes, or on an individual case-by-case basis, taking information that you're seeing out there on the website and responding to people out there who maybe are, you know, big promoters or big detractors, and making sure that you can take care of them. And there are a lot of banks very interested in just generally net promoter score, so that you know, they can take better care of people that have a wider circle of influence, which is kind of interesting, I guess, you know, for people out there who are, you know, individual account customers, seeing that, you know, somebody who perhaps is more active in social media and has a wider group of friends and a wider group of influence is likely to get, you know, higher up on the list for, you know, support or help when needed.
Yeah, absolutely. Then we just have to make sure that we have all the resources to actually execute these things. I would like to give Vince the last word on that. Vince, you have heard the discussion. There seems to be a lot of you know, issues still on, you know, how are we going to really go after that, how are we going to add this onto our existing systems, you know, what's out there. So it's really a very new field actually here in the region. Isn't it?
Hi, Chris. Yes. You know, the issues as I see it at the moment is that I think the banks need to, you know, start investigating this and looking at possible solutions. I mean, from an IBM point of view, we have a number of solutions that support sentiment analysis. I think the banks need to, you know, look at it very closely, and you know, start planning to adopt these technologies. I think there's a lot of very useful information that can be gained about you know, the way customers either view a brand, maybe a new product or a new service. It can certainly, as one of the speakers spoke before, things like retention analysis, customer complaints. I think it can give banks invaluable insight into that. And I think, you know, if I was a head of marketing these days, I would certainly be looking at, you know, putting this on my planning schedule and looking at how I can adopt these sort of analytical tools.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think what struck me really was to start when starting with this, start in a very specific area, which, you know, you can control, and from which you can build actually your institutional expertise and knowledge. I would like to thank everybody of you, Meta and Manya from the U.S., Vince, which is currently in Hanoi, and of course our audience for the questions being filed. Appreciated. We will probably wrap that up and provide to all of you a short proceedings report so that you have something at hand you can look at from the points which have been, you know, discussed. Thank you very much to all of you, and have a nice